This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Mississippi State quarterback, and you follow him on Twitter at Radio Wyatt, and you get some great breakdowns on film. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Morning, boys. How are things in the ham?
Everything is great. Matt's on the Bud Light Hotline. Let's start, because we want to, you do so much film breakdown, we want to eventually get to that, but let's start with the Alabama-Mississippi State game. I guess when Joe Moorhead was hired, I did not imagine that by the time this game rolled around, State's calling card would be one of the top defenses in the country. Has that been a surprise to you as well?
Well, I think for a lot of people it has been, Ryan. I think for those kind of here under the hood that kind of knew the inner workings, you could really look at last year's team and last year's roster, everything returning, and see that there was going to be a lot of pieces to be good on defense. I mean, they are as deep and good depth. I'm talking talented depth in their defensive front seven as anybody in the country, especially on the defensive front. And, at safety, they've got a legit NFL prospect in Jonathan Abram at safety. McLaurin is another safety that will play some NFL football. And their two corners are young, but all of a sudden they're both healthy and they're both long, tall corners. Dantzler is about 6'2 at one side. And on the other side is a Jamal Peters at corner who's 6'2 and about 220 pounds. And NFL people kind of really evaluating him hard, and they're playing good football. So, they're very, very talented. The personnel pieces were always there. And Bob Schutz done a good job. You know, he's a veteran guy who's had that situation before. He went into a Penn State locker room when he took that job, and they had talented players. When he went with James Franklin to Vanderbilt, in a couple of years, they had a pretty good solid roster. They did a good job. So he's done it before. He's coaching them well, and I would say that I'm not really that surprised. I am surprised at how lopsided the numbers are, though. You know, they've given up 9 touchdowns all year. In their last 51 opponent possessions, they've allowed 2 touchdowns, which is just pretty incredible.
Back to the offense, though. Joe Moorhead's first season, Penn State, it took about halfway through the season for Trace McSorley and Moorhead to get on the same page. And that's when Penn State really started rolling. And you go back to this LSU game, Nick Fitzgerald was awful. Probably career worst game. But the last 2 weeks, Matt, he's been exceptional. 6 touchdowns, no picks, and he seems to be playing with confidence again.
He's playing with confidence, and, you know, some of that does have to do with the difference in those opponents. And the difference in being at home and on the road. And, Lance, that's one thing kind of within the numbers I would tell you to take a glance at is how different the offense has looked at home versus on the road this year. And it is a big difference. And also, LSU, one of the more, if not the most, ball-hawking secondary you're going to play against all year. And it showed up in that game. And the thing that they did in the next week, getting into the Texas A&M game 2 weeks ago, was instead of taking the conservative approach and saying, hey, look, we're having a hard time throwing the ball, we're going to dial that back and just be a running offense. They kind of went the other way, and they came out of the LSU game and said, I don't care how many picks you threw, doggone, we're about to air the thing out because we got to be able to do it. We believe we can, we just aren't. So we're going to do it. And I think that approach from the coaching staff injected a little confidence into the receiving core and a quarterback and everybody, and going into the A&M game, they were ready to air it out a little bit. And they did. You're right. Got confidence. And, you know, we'll see. It's a whole different deal going into Tuscaloosa. A lot of confident teams go in there and come out with their tail between their legs. So, but you still have to go in there and fire it around. And to heck with throwing a pick or two, you got to be aggressive.
Do you think when the day is done on Saturday, you'll see Nick Fitzgerald as not only the leading passer, but the leading rusher? Because it seems like every time I watch Mississippi State, that is the case. Is the running back situation, or is that just the offense? Where's the running backs in this team?
Yeah, Jim, and that's a good question. I would tell you that, you know, the chances of being in the game and scoring on the Bama defense are much better if your rushing yards are coming from the running back position and if you're not having to rely on a quarterback. I think that's a pretty obvious thing. And the rub earlier in the year, as they were trying to figure this offense out, one of the complaints was the lack of touches for the running backs. Example, they go to Kentucky, and Kylan Hill and Aris Williams got a combined 12 carries. They come back, they play Florida. Hill and Williams got a combined 12 carries. But then you look up in games like Kansas State and Auburn, the games they won, the running backs were getting a ton of carries. And so there seemed to be this obvious gap there in win and lose versus use the running backs or not. And I think the reason is what they were doing is getting behind, and earlier in the second half, while behind, not sticking with that run game and taking a pass-first approach. So they've worked themselves, though, I think, out of that. They really, really like the two running backs, especially the ball-carrying ability of Kylan Hill. I mean, he's a legitimate star prospect at that position. You know, he's just in his sophomore year. I would imagine that those two are going to be a big part of the early game plan, those scripted plays when they go in there on Saturday.
Matt Wyatt is with us on the Bud Light Hotline. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Radio Wyatt and find all of his work at mattwyattmedia.com. He does a great job of breaking down film throughout the Southeastern Conference. You've taken some time to look at Alabama's film against LSU. What jumped off the page the most for you?
Number 92.
He can play.
He's something else, man. And I'm telling you, it's always the case for Alabama, but he may be the best they've had. You know, and they got all these guys starting in the NFL who've come through there recently at defensive front, but he is, you know, you can watch him play. You can almost see visibly his center of gravity. He doesn't get knocked around much. He's so strong up top. In the breakdown of the film that I did, I saw Williams, you know, there was just two examples, and there were more, of him taking on double teams and just manhandling double teams. There were two different sacks where one was a center and a guard. They double team him, and he just splits it like they're not there. There's another where the back is tasked with comboing with the left guard to block him on a play-action pass. By the time Joe Burrow came out of the play fake and was trying to set his feet, Williams had pushed the guard and the running back 6 yards deep, right back on the QB. It was incredible. So he jumps out, but Tua always jumps out at you. And that was a deal where, going into the game, I said, you know, he's probably going to throw his first pick at some point in the game. And it's just because you put the ball in the air that much against Delpit and Greedy and those guys, they're going to come down with one. They are that good. But what you saw is just this, I just see this steadiness with him that nothing gets him out of his game or has been able to this point. And so, you know, you see times in the game where LSU, Dave Aranda really moves people around and tries to confuse a pass protection. He'll line guys up on line of scrimmage, drop them, and then bring somebody off the hash. He's trying to find a lane to get to the QB. Tua totally trusts his protection. He never gets fooled by numbers or the possibility of his own blitz. He's just so steady. And what he is maybe the best college quarterback in terms of anticipating coverage, anticipating throws, and then getting it out on time accurately. All four of those factors, I think he's the best I've ever seen.
Well, Tua gets a ton of credit, and rightfully so, but when you start to look at these wide receivers, and Alabama's always had a dominant number one, but when you look at four guys at the receiver position that will play on Sundays, and you look at Irv Smith at the tight end position, how impressed are you with that group?
It's an embarrassment of riches is what it is. And see, it's not just running routes and getting open. Everybody in college football, frankly, well, I say everybody in the SEC pretty much, everybody in the top 25 definitely has receivers that can run routes and get open against anybody they play. Everybody's got that. It's to catch it and outrun everybody. And now that's aided by the fact that you got a quarterback who's getting the ball there a half second earlier than other quarterbacks are. So they're catching the ball with more space than anybody else is. And what separates them as a group is all of them They catch the football with the intention of getting to the end zone every time. There is no possession receiver. Every one of them, it's catch it, and how can I maximize this yak, you know, after I've caught the ball. They are big time, man. They're fun to watch. It's like watch every now and then. It's like watching Kurt Warner and the Rams again. You know, this here 20 years later.
Matt Wyatt is with us at Radio Wyatt WYATT on Twitter, and he breaks down not only Mississippi State, but as you've heard, Alabama and everyone else in college football. And I'm interested when you look at everyone else in college football. When we get to Atlanta, do you think this Georgia team has anything for Alabama? Because just a few months ago in the national championship game, it looked like it was Georgia's to win. And then Tua came into the game, and it still came down to a very, you know, second and 26. Has the gap widened, in your opinion, between Alabama and Georgia? Or do you think Georgia will have something for them?
No, the gap's widened, definitely. And it's because of number 13 and that group and how much better they are. In fact, he's on the field. Georgia, I'm not sure, has taken a big step forward. They're a very good football team, okay? I mean, they are. Swift is the real deal. He looks to be as confident and as healthy as he's been, okay? And, you know, Georgia, by the time they play in that game, if Georgia keeps plugging away and they're doing a good job in practice, they have the people where they should be able to run the ball a little bit against Alabama. And they might be able to do that better than some of these other teams that have played Alabama. But if you pay attention and read the leaves on this thing, Kirby Smart's really even been telling us since fall camp that they weren't a well-oiled machine. He was very dissatisfied with his seniors and his leaders in fall camp. He'd hammer them during those early press conferences. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Some of these young guys are going to earn playing time. He kind of warns you that that LSU-type game might be coming. And he continues to say, man, we're making a lot of mistakes. We are not a finished product. Maybe they get there and get better by then, but I'm telling you what I see is it's Alabama and it's everybody else a distant second.
At Radio Wyatt on Twitter, MattWyattMedia.com. If you go to his Twitter feed, there is, let me check it right here, 11:43 is the length of the breakdown of the Alabama-LSU film. So if you like film breakdown on things such as that, that is really, really good. You can catch that at Matt Wyatt's Twitter feed, at Radio Wyatt. At Radio Wyatt. It used to be at Maroon Wyatt, right, Matt? Am I right about that?
Yeah, I changed it at some point, and I'm not really even sure why I did, but I did change it.
That's good. Matt, thank you. It's always great talking with you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a great day. Thank you all.
Always get Lance's Lock on Twitter, at TheLanceTaylor.